This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
I just trust the Lord to help me within the very few minutes. I will basically start from where our pastor stopped. It's just an admonition on what we're going to be doing in this period. Pastor spoke emphatically about the role of the Holy Ghost and how a soul must have stature. Let's read Luke 22 from verse 28. He said, Jesus was looking at his disciples and was talking to his disciples. He said, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. He said, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But what? I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Verse 40. And this was in Gethsemane. Every time I've actually seen through the scriptures, and we will look at some of those places, just that same day, Jesus was talking to them that I appoint you a kingdom. Jesus said, I appoint you a kingdom, just as the Father has appointed me a kingdom. And he began to say beautiful things, talking about eating and drinking. That's what men think the kingdom is. But there is a meal. There is actually a meal indeed. There's a meat indeed for the kingdom that shall be appointed. And he was appointing to them a kingdom. And immediately he said, I appoint you a kingdom. The next thing he said is, Peter, Satan seeks to sift you as with. Satan seeks to sift you as with. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And Peter, sincerely, with all the tenacity of his heart, promised, I can never deny you. In fact, if it's prison, I'll go with you. Matthew 24, verse 3 to 24. He said, and he sat on Mount Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. He was asking for signs, and Jesus was telling them, take heed that no man deceive you. So, to me, I'm thinking one of the signs is deception. And it's actually true, because in Thessalonians, he talked about it. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You see, it's just a very simple thing I want to say this morning. I want to answer the question, why must you pray? Why? Have you ever asked yourself, why must I pray? Why in this season? Why is it important for me to pray? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. He was talking to disciples. Talking to disciples. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, of rumors of wars. He said, see that ye be not troubled. So in the time of deception, in the time of rumors, there is a posture that we must have. See that you be not troubled. So you must not be deceived. You must not be troubled. Hallelujah. We continue. He said, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, there shall be pestilence and earthquakes and in diverse places. All these things are beginnings of sorrows. These are beginnings of sorrows. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He said, and then shall many be offended. People will be deceived. People will be troubled. People will be offended. He was talking to disciples. He went up to the Mount Olive and it was disciples that came to him. He was talking to disciples and not any other person. He said, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, when he's saying because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When he's talking about love, is he talking about unbelievers? Is it unbelievers that have love? Does unbelievers have love? So when he's saying because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, he was talking to disciples. Love will wax cold. There will be offense. There will be trouble. Right? And there will be deception. People that will be deceived are believers. He's not talking about unbelievers. It's disciples. Hallelujah. Because for you to be deceived, it means that you were in the right before. I'm just addressing why you must pray. Because, you know, there's somewhere in our hearts that we might actually think that this thing cannot happen to me. It's not going to happen to us in Jesus' name. But there's a posture. You know, he was talking about the end here. He said, the love of many shall wax old, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. So the posture for a believer or a disciple is to endure to the end. He said, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. There are things that prophets have spoken. Hallelujah. Standing in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judah flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them which are with child, and to them which give suck on those days. But what? Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why is he talking about this? See, when he's talking about this, he's talking about so stature of disciples. When he says, yeah, because in the day these things are happening, a soul must have grown from being a babe to a particular stature. There's a soul stature that will appear. Why? Because in the days of the giving of the kingdom is that we are appearing before God. We are appearing before Father. How they give us kingdom is that the Father is being revealed, that we are all appearing. And let me tell you something. It is the last time. There's a posture of soul that every one of us must hasten into. There's a posture of soul. You see, one thing about the Sabbath day is that men cannot labor on the Sabbath day. Your flight must not be on the Sabbath. In other words, you must have finished laboring before that time of flight comes. What we must do is to pray. What we must do is to pray. He said, pray. Yes, he said, but pray that your flight shall not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. He says, the 19 says, he, if you have a cloth somewhere, don't go and take it. In other words, you must have labored to be clothed before that time. You must have labored to be fully kitted before that day. He said, if you are somewhere flee to the mountaintop. You must have ascended before then. There is a posture of soul that this day must meet us with. Hallelujah. There is a labor that we must have undertaken. A transfiguration boot camp is a mountaintop experience. For actually, the real transfiguration that happened to Jesus is not just that day. The real essence of is all the journey, and it culminated on Gethsemane. Hallelujah. It culminated on Gethsemane. Why? Because everything they were talking to Jesus, every voice that was there, you know, there were two things. There were two conversations. There was one that was for the disciples. And there was one that was what? That was for Jesus. The one for Jesus was talking about his disease, his death. Hallelujah. The one for Jesus was talking about his death. But you know, there was one for the disciples. You know, there was something the Holy Ghost was just saying in my heart. There's infirmity. There's infirmity that can be in disciples at the point of transfiguration. Can you open the Luke version of the transfiguration experience? That same Luke 9. There is something that must be happening to us. There is a kind of man that must appear before the Father. It's a priestly man, like in Leviticus 21. But let's read Luke 9. You see, these things, the same thing, I read it in Luke 9, I read it in Matthew, I read it in Mark, and there was something, there was a conversation that was a precursor to transfiguration. Transfiguration did not just happen. He said, but I tell you the truth, there be some standing here, we shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. The issue of transfiguration, and he was talking to his disciples then, he said, some of you will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God. And they are all dead. Did Jesus lie? No, he did not. So the kingdom of God is not a day, right? But something happened. He said, then it came to pass about 8 days after this saying, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. That's an example. And as he prayed, his fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Let's go back. Go to the next verse. He said, and behold, three talked with him, two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So they were talking about Gethsemane and the death. That was the real transfiguration. That was its real change of soul. He said, but Peter and they that were with him was what? Can you remember? These were the three that went to Gethsemane and said, watch with me. Pray with me. They were still sleeping. They were still sleeping. See, there are oppositions when it comes to the kingdom. There are things that we want to stand against you receiving the kingdom. We cannot beat around the bush. These are disciples that want us to sleep. To sleep. Heavy with sleep. Heavy with sleep. Heavy with sleep. And you see, you can be in church and you are sleeping. The Holy Ghost brought this transaction to me, and there was a way he painted it. He said they were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. He said, and it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make here three tabernacles. One for what? For thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. When he was just blabbing, what did heaven say? He said, while he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. In other words, it's not your talk. There's a conversation from heaven that must be heard. There's a conversation from heaven. And you know how Peter called that conversation in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, for we have not followed. And when he said we, He's talking about those who have heard him. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. So in the Mount of Transfiguration, there are two things that must be received. First, there must be power, because anytime you hear about kingdom, you hear about power. Right? Because really, really, if you have not received power, there's no way you can receive kingdom. Why? Because it takes power to change. It takes power. In that same Luke 22, verse 40. He said, and when he was at the place, this was Gethsemane, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He took the whole disciples, the 12, to a point. Then he took Peter, James, and John to another point. He said, tarry here and pray. Then he went further to pray. He said, and when he was at a place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. There's an angel that is coming, no? He's here already. But he's not going to minister to everybody. He's only going to minister to those who pray. He's only going to minister to those who pray. He said, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So they strengthened him to pray more. Being in agony. See, that is a soul. You cannot be transfigured if you are not in agony. We cannot be transfigured if we are not in agony. We must pray in agony. And that was why I was saying, my spirit prayeth and my understanding prayeth. See, you will pray in your spirit and the Holy Ghost will give you understanding of what to pray. Both your spirit and understanding is praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost baptized men in Acts of the Apostles and they spoke in tongues, but some other people understood it. And it was the Holy Ghost. David in, I think, 2 Samuel, when the Philistines came against him, there were two occasions. One of the occasions, they countered him in the field. And God gave him a strategy. He waited. God gave him a strategy. They came back again to attack him. After some time, he prayed. He said, don't go to them in that same strategy. Wait, when you hear the rumblings on the mulberry trees. Luke 46. He said, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for what? Sleeping for what? If you do not pray, you will fall into temptation. If you do not pray, you will fall into deception. If you do not pray, you will be in sorrow, because you will look at what is happening in the nations of the earth. If you do not pray, and what is it? And it's so profound that we're dealing with flesh before this. Jesus told them, in Mark, he said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So the stature in our soul is that flesh must be dealt with. So we must cry. See, if flesh is there, we cannot inherit kingdom. If I am not perfect in charity with my brethren, I cannot inherit kingdom. If I have not built faith, because in 2 Peter, what preceded that place in verse 1, it was talking about divine power. Adding what? To your faith, add virtue. He said, according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life and godliness is kingdom. Life and godliness are entrance to kingdom. Entrance to kingdom. Christ's life. Entrance to kingdom. He said, through the knowledge of him who had called us to glory and virtue, Then he started talking about the additions and additions and additions. At the end of the additions, he said, if these things are bound. See, if you don't have faith, if faith has not been established, if virtue has not been established, if patience has not been established, we must press in. We must press in. The Lord will strengthen us mightily to pray. This meeting, we'll meet the Lord. And so an entrance will be ministered to us into the abundant kingdom. Let's rise up on our feet and just let's pray in the spirit. Let's pray in the spirit.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwumi Street, off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.